Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. What a great day so far. Amen. God is good. He's good all the time. He never changes. Well, I just want to say, if I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here at the Murraysville location. We are Bridge City Church of one church in four locations, all meeting and gathering, doing something very similar to this morning, and we want to just continue bragging on God. That's really our goal. Is we want to point people to Jesus. We want every single person that comes to Bridge City Church, we want you more than to know a pastor or know Bridge City Church's name. We want you to know the name of Jesus as your personal forgiver of your past and leader to your future. And we're doing this series right now called Transformed. And I believe that every single one of us can be spiritually transformed if we allow God to transform us. If we say yes and are willing to do that, it's not just something for the spiritual people, but it's for all people to take a step in being transformed. But to be honest, I think a lot of Christians, a lot of people coming into church, don't really experience the spiritual transformation that God has for you. I believe we can add some good to our bad. We can become a little bit better people. We add a little church or some Bible study time. But I believe God has so much more than what we're all currently experiencing. I'm speaking for myself. There's more spiritual transformation that God has for each and every one of us. More of Him, more of the things of heaven. I don't think this is as good as it gets. Even in the best of times, I believe God has so much more available to us if we would just come expecting and asking Him for more of Him. More of Him. It's not just more stuff or more for me, but we want more of Him. And when our heart is postured in such a way, we say, God, I want more of You. I believe He answers our request, and He very much wants to give more of Himself to us. But at times we have these uncomfortable areas of our life, and this isn't an all-inclusive list, but just a few areas where we have the uns, whether it makes us uncomfortable or uncertain or uneasy, maybe unbelieving or unwilling. These are areas of our life that can hold us back from experiencing this true transformation that God has for us. Maybe uncertainty is, I tend to avoid it because I can't control it. Anybody ever avoid something because you just don't feel confident in it, you can't control it, you just never experienced it before? There's uncertainty. Uneasy, I don't feel confident or equipped to take it on. Maybe not good enough or not able to do it, or again, never experienced it before, so we shy away from it. It causes us to be uneasy. Unbelieving is often at times when you experience failure and doubt that you can change. Unwilling, this is probably the worst one, because it's not just that God can't, it's that I'm unwilling to let Him. Refusing, oftentimes out of fear, because it's just the way I've always been, the way I've always known, this unwillingness to budge or change or allow God to change us. All of these areas, all these things in different ways prevent us from experiencing a spiritual transformation that God has for us. And all these things start in our minds. It starts in our minds that we war not according to the flesh, as we're going to look at, but we war in our minds first and foremost. Anybody married? Right? The thoughts that come in our heads at times, right? We're like, where is this coming from? Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? But these mindsets is really what we're going to talk about today, is understanding different mindsets we have that are contrary to the Word of God or the way God would want for us. What do we do about those? And giving you some practical help. But then next week, we're going to really dive in more on a deeper level with schemes and strongholds and traumatic events and things that have happened. And how do we undo the works of the devil and our schemes and strongholds, and really walk in freedom. We're going to look at some of that today, but specifically looking more at mindsets. Next week's going to be a little more about strongholds and the bondages that we build up around us. But transformation is a process of becoming more like Jesus, right? The goal for us all is we want to be more like Jesus. I want my life to reflect the life of Jesus more and more on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis. I want to be more like Him. Because most people, if you ask the average atheist, they don't really have a problem with Jesus. They have a problem with church, or they have a problem with organized religion, or they have a problem with mankind who've done something not representative of Jesus. But when you really look at the life of Jesus and you talk about that with somebody, there's really no fault you can find with Him. He was a really cool guy. He set people free. He healed people. He provided for people. I mean, Jesus, he fed the poor. He helped the widows, the orphans, the downcast, the women, the people of different race. I mean, Jesus was a really awesome guy in everybody's book, everybody's standard, right? So the goal is to be more like Jesus, not just to copy or imitate after people. But transformation, it's a process. It's not a one-time event only. God can transform us in an instant. But usually it's a process of becoming like Jesus. It's a process by which we can be transformed. One way is through relationships that transform us. Relationships that transform us to be like Jesus. There are relationships that transform me to be more like other things. But we want relationships that will help us become more like Christ. Renewing of our minds. We need our minds renewed. Anybody else? Think about what you thought about the last 7 days. Would you want that played up on the screen for everyone to see? I don't know anybody that would, right? But the thoughts that we can have, it doesn't make you a bad person. It just means I know I need my mind continually renewed to be more like Christ. And then revealing of God's truth. The transformation comes when we remove the lies or remove the bad mindsets and replace them with the truth of God's word. So, who you are today is a result of your thoughts from yesterday. This is a quote, not credited to anybody, a common saying, that who you are today is a result of your thoughts from yesterday, because your thoughts lead to how you feel, leads to your actions, which ultimately result in your behavior patterns, right? So if you want to change your behavior, you got to start by changing the way you think, right? If you keep doing the same old things, nothing's going to change. It's literally the definition of insanity, right? But most people, we want to change a behavior, right? We want to eat less junk food and get in shape, right? Take that one, because that usually applies to most people want to lose a few pounds, right? But if you keep doing the same things, nothing's going to change. Often it's change the way you think about. Change, instead of just don't eat bad food, don't eat sweets, don't eat cheese, don't eat deep fried, don't. What if it's eat the good stuff? Focus on the good stuff. Focus, find ways to feed yourself healthily and not focus so much on the bad. It's just a shift of the way we think about food, thinking about exercise. Sometimes it's like, I do not want to go to the gym. The gym door is the most difficult piece of equipment in the whole gym to use because you just don't get there to open it, right? We need to go whatever way it works for you to exercise, to stay in shape, to be healthy. Our behaviors won't change if we don't change the way we think. Our mindsets, the way we think. And we're going to unpack more of this and help you understand that changing the way you think will change your life. It will literally change your life. Because every change we want, no matter whether it's physical, losing weight, spiritual, hearing God, being used by God, knowing your purpose in God, it all starts with the way you think. What do you think about God? What do you think about what the Word of God communicates? And what do you think about yourself? If you don't change the way you think, your life will continue, and this is as good as it will get. But I'm here to tell you, God has something so much more for you. It gets better. He has so, so many more blessings and so much more available to us. But with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you just give you praise and honor and glory, God, for the healings that took place last week. And God, all the stories that are sitting in this room, God, all the stories that could be told of your goodness, your faithfulness, God, your steadfast love for each and every one of us, God. We just brag on you, God. We thank you for your glory. We thank you that you are a healer. You are a miracle worker, that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I pray right now that you would speak this message, God. Let it be your heart, your spirit, and your word that would go forth to change and transform each and every one of us. God, may it not just be a good teaching, but God, something that moves in our hearts to change and transform us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to dive right into our first text. You're going to be seeing this text come up multiple verses. You won't see it on the screen behind me currently, but I'll read it to you and you can follow along. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He says specifically, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be like the things of this world, but transforming by the renewing of your mind. And he mentions this in Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he's writing to the believers there, and he says, you should have your lives be acceptable and good and pleasing and perfect. And who doesn't want their life to be acceptable to God? Right? Most people would say, I want to be in right standing with God. I want my life to be pleasing to God. And he says he wants you to be pleasing and acceptable to him as well. How do we do that? Don't be conformed to the ways of the world. That's everything outside of what the Word of God says and what he wants for his church to be communicated to us. And the renewing of our mind, transforming. We need our minds transformed. I mean, if you ever met children, usually they're very selfish, right? They want mine. And we need to train and teach them to learn how to be selfless, to be less sinful, to less self-absorbed in themselves. And as we become adults, the goal is to be less selfish and to be more transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's not a natural thing that happens. It takes a lot of effort and intentionality to have our minds transformed. It's actually, the word theological is used. It's theo means God, and logical is reasoning. Theological is God reasoning, divine reasoning. It's the ways of God are logical and good to him. We don't always understand because we're stuck in human reasoning often, right? And God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Isaiah 55 is a reference for you if you want to write that down. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where the prophet's talking about how God's thoughts and his mind is greater than our mind. His thoughts and his ways are greater than ours, and we need to get more into God reasoning rather than my reasoning. Anybody ever think you had a better idea than God? Be honest, you're in church. You know, there's times that we fall into, like, God, are you sure? God says to go do this, and God says to Jack, go right, and he's like, I'm going to go left, and it's like, God's way, God knows what's best for you, amen, right? But at times, we think we're in control, and Jesus is our co-pilot. We got it flipped around. He should be driving our life. We should be the one saying, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, Holy Spirit, lead my life, and he'll lead. His reasoning is better than ours. So, renewing of our minds. I think we're going to run without the slides, so you can follow along, take notes if you want. Renewing of our minds does three things. We get refreshed, we get rejuvenated, and we get restored. Renewing of your mind isn't a bad thing. It's a really good thing. I want my mind to be refreshed, rejuvenated, and restored. How many of you want your bodies refreshed, rejuvenated, and restored? The same goes for our minds, right? We want our minds to be refreshed, rejuvenated, restored. It's completing a process to making fresh, making new, and it's achieved by the power of God. See, when we try to renew our minds on our own, we only get so far. You can read a lot of books, you can do a lot of study, there's a lot of help out there, but the difference of having our minds renewed for God is it takes his power, his divine power to truly renew, refresh, rejuvenate, and restore our minds. So stop conforming to the world and start being transformed into what God says. You know, the world and the devil, he has a plan for your life. You realize that it's called schematica. The word says, do not be conformed to the world. It's schematica. It's like a blueprint. It's a plan that the devil has against. There's plans against you. But the other side of it is God has a plan for you as well. And it's so much better, so much greater than any plan of the devil. His plan is good for you to prosper, to be healthy, to be whole, to be healed, to know him and experience him. God's plan for your life is so much greater. And it's not an equal thing. It's not a yin and yang, a tit for tat. It's not God and the devil arm wrestling, because God could speak a word and destroy all the works of the devil. Yet he allows us to go through life, to be dependent upon God, to wrestle through and to face these trials, to strengthen us, to build endurance in us. But to know that the plan the devil has against you is so much smaller than the plan that God has for you, so much better plan that God has for you. So how does my mind get renewed? Well, there's three things we do. We got to reveal that there's a mindset problem. If you don't acknowledge there's a problem, how can you address the problem, right? You reveal the mindset. Remove the mindset. Remove the mindset that's contrary to the word of God, that's contrary to what he says, and then we replace it with the truth of God's word. So reveal it, remove it, and replace it. Now, what is a mindset? Just one definition. A mindset is a collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape your habits, affecting how you feel and what you do. Kind of talked about this, your mind, your thoughts lead to how you feel, leads to your actions, which ultimately result in how we act and behave. So change our behavior. Our behaviors are actually a reflection of the mind. So we have to change our mindset. It starts with revealing that we have a problem, that we need our minds to be changed. So why would we want to choose what God says about us? Well, God's proven himself trustworthy, faithful, steadfast, all these things, that not just in our own lives or some of the stories you've heard, but for thousands of years we read this Bible and we can see God's faithfulness, God's steadfastness, that he is trustworthy, that his plan is always what's best for us in the end, that he sent his own son to die for us. What better person to trust in and believe in and say, whatever he says, I want that. I want to follow and trust in him, to be more like him. But, you know, we war in different ways. So, you know, we talked about losing weight, right? We mentioned that. Oftentimes, we try to win the battle of losing weight by just fighting in the flesh. Don't eat that, eat that. Exercise this. It's strictly a physical realm. But the reality is we have a mental realm, our minds, our soul, our emotions, and there's a spiritual realm. That's where the angels and demons, and we war in the spirit, we war in our minds, and we war in the flesh. Well, 2 Corinthians 10 helps us see the contrast in a flesh versus the spirit. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. One of the biggest successes that the devil has done is make us think he's not real. The statistics that show that evangelical Christians who don't believe the devil's real, he's just a force or he's some, it's like there's this bad karma. It's mind-blowing because the devil has a plan against us, and if we don't spot it and don't realize we're in a war, you're not going to be ready to fight, or you're only going to be fighting according to the flesh. And he says, but our weapons are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That God gives us the weapons to fight with. In verse 5, he specifically says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive. He says, this casting down, it's to tear down. It's to actually, the word means violently to pull down, to leave nothing standing, nothing even in good working order. It's destroying and taking down every thought, every imagination, the arguments that we come up with in our heads. He says to tear them down, to tear down every high thing. It's like a barrier, a wall that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So let me help you understand this a little more practically, right? We all put some walls up at times, right? Or you know somebody that does that, right? You might not do it. But hopefully we're getting better at not doing that. But we put walls up as people. When you're hurt or you've gone through a bad experience, we put walls up, right? We begin to build a barrier around us. It's a defense mechanism. Maybe something happened in your childhood that you were really traumatized or hurt. There's a big wall that's starting to get built up at a very young age. You become a teenager, more bad experiences. A young adult, you go to college, more bad experiences. People let you down. People failed you. People who should have protected you didn't protect you. Boom, boom, boom. We're building these walls all around us because I need to protect me. And that's good for a season. And I believe it's very necessary for seasons of our life. We do need to protect ourselves from the world, from the outside, from the devil, from people even at times. We need to protect us. But then when we become in Christ and we understand who he is and we begin to walk according to the word of God, we learn that God is our strong tower. God is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our stronghold that we can go into. He protects us. And we begin to one by one remove those blocks, remove those walls by changing our mindsets to go, I don't need to be afraid of people. I can trust people once again. I can trust because God's got my back. Bad things are still going to happen, but God has me in the palm of his hands. When God has you in his hands, you have nothing to fear. Yet the lies and the mindsets will come. Every thought, every argument, everything that comes into our minds, these perceptions, those thoughts are to hold you captive. But the Bible says, I want to take my thoughts captive rather than my thoughts taking me captive. Anybody say amen? Amen. We should have our thoughts taking them captive to the obedience of Christ. It's not just my way and I'm right and you're wrong. It's, no, my thoughts want to be more like the thoughts that Christ has. So when there's somebody, especially somebody you're married to, they're not the enemy. People are never the enemy. But the thoughts and the imaginations and the arguments that we can have in our mind can cause us to have mindsets that are building up against somebody else, even against ourselves. Those barriers don't just prevent people from getting in. It's often it prevents God from getting in. We have this wall up and we can see God. We know he's there, but we can't have that closeness and intimacy that he truly wants with us without removing the mindsets, identifying those mindsets. I want to share with you one of mine, just help it be more practical. Maybe it connects with you. I have a mindset, a negative mindset at times that I'm not good enough and I'm illegitimate. And I know, thankfully, through Victory and Freedom and a lot of ministry and understanding things, I can walk into freedom and I can walk in victory, but I understand where it comes from, and it tries to creep back in every once in a while. That as a young child, my parents divorced when I was 1 year old. And growing up, my mom always said it was because of what my dad was doing to the kids. I had an older brother that died at birth. It was a horrible thing. And there's some things that got planted in me that I even questioned and kind of blamed myself for my parents' divorce. As a one-year-old baby when they got divorced, there was a lie that was put in my head very early on that it was my fault. I caused this. And then my mom gets with another man. 3 more kids are born. I grew up with a stepdad who always told me, I'm not his. You're not part of this family. You're not blood. That kind of stuff as a young child and teenager, doesn't matter how old you get, that kind of stuff that's coming from a parental figure especially, planted some things in my mind that I'm illegitimate. I don't belong. I'm half blood, or I'm second class, or I'm less than. And I grew up with this. So then I go to college, and what do? I'm not getting attention. I'm not getting the legitimate feelings of being a son. So I go try to get attention by getting in trouble and by causing problems and by getting in unhealthy relationships because I want that attention because I need to know that I was accepted. So I go hang out with guys doing a bunch of criminal activity. They accepted me. You know, the family I didn't have, I found in other people doing bad things. That's why gangs are so popular. It's like, it is a place of family and unity and community. I go, the church is supposed to be that, right? The church should be the place where you find family and community and belonging and purpose. And that's the way God intended it to be. And you don't have to go make poor decisions to find family. But this mindset I had of, I'm not good enough, I don't belong, I had to reveal it, remove it, and replace it with the word of God. That the word of God says, I've accepted and received a spirit of sonship because of what he's done for me. It's not my works. I can't earn it. I can't do anything to earn my father's love because he's already done everything for me. My heavenly father. That I'm a part of his family and I'm accepted as his son. Reveal, remove, and replace is how we overcome these mindsets. One of the ways you can do it also is Victory and Freedom. Victory and Freedom Weekend is one of my personal preferences. I lead the men's Victory and Freedom, so I'm a little biased. My wife leads the women's for our whole church. And I go 2 or 3 times a year, and Pastor Rick's always like, "What? You're the expert, you go." I'm like, I go because I need it too. Like, I don't just go because I'm the expert. Like, I go because I need to remind myself, and I need to work through things continually and make sure I'm walking in Victory and Freedom. But Victory and Freedom is a time designed to help you Break off these mindsets. Break off the strongholds. Really get victory and freedom in your life. We walk, there's a lot of teaching, but there's a lot of practical training and equipping you of how to pray, how to win the war spiritually and the war in your mind. It's not just try harder. It's not just come to church more, even though we all need to come to church more. We all need to go to group more. But, you know, it's not just do more. It's lean into God more. Experience, allow his power to change and transform us. I mean, but victory and freedom, if you've never been to a victory and freedom, I want you to write down February 16 and 17, I believe is the dates. It's a Friday evening for a few hours starting at 7 p.m. and all day Saturday, 8 a.m. to whenever we get done. Usually it's about 12 hours. Don't be afraid of that because it goes so quick. We provide food for you. There's $25 cost, and that $25 pretty much goes to your food and the paper and all the stuff that goes with it. But why you should go is if you want more victory and freedom in your life, you should go to Victory and Freedom. There are limited spots, so I ask you, get signed up. If you know you can be there, there's no other reason not to go. Friday evening, you get to go home, sleep in your own bed. Saturday, all day. The men are at North Braddock. The women are at White Oak. So if you've never been to other campuses, you get to check out another campus as well. We'll help you with all that information, how to get there. But really, why you should go is I believe God wants you to experience more victory and freedom. He wants more for your life. If you want to become more like Jesus, get to Victory and Freedom. It's the best decision you can make in the next couple weeks especially. So jumping into some text in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at a few verses from 17 on to 24 in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, welcome to open those up or take notes and look into this a little more yourself. But verse 17, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus at this point. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." That's the ones who are non-Jews, non-believers at the time. Don't walk as the Gentiles or the world in their futility of their minds. He's saying the people of the world, their mindsets are futile. They're not working the way they should be working. He says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Now you can read this, and I read this in many different translations, and it can sound a little harsh, but he's saying don't fall into this. He's really warning and encouraging the people of God to not allow darkness in their understanding, a spiritual blindness. He says, I don't want you to be spiritually blind. I don't want you to wander about not knowing what God is saying and leading you to. Oftentimes, it leads to alienation, which is to not be a participant in the family of God. Another word for that is estranged. So estranged from the family of God. When there's a darkening understanding, there's blindness, spiritual blindness, it leads to being alienated or separated from the people of God, which then results in not experiencing the life of God. The life that God has for you. And he's saying it's due to a hardness of heart. If you've ever hardened your heart towards God or hardened your heart towards trusting people or hardened your heart towards whatever it is God wants for your life, I encourage you to say, God, remove the hardness from my heart. Because what happens, that word, it has a connotation of a numbness or dullness. I can't feel love anymore because I've hardened my heart. It's very common for people who've gone through horrible relationships and problems with family and whatnot, they can harden their heart, even towards God. When things don't turn out the way you want them to, we can harden our hearts. And God's saying he wants to soften our hearts. He wants us to experience him and to feel his love again. But being willing to reveal those mindsets. So maybe those mindsets are something you have. Hardness of heart, feeling let down, just having spiritual blindness. Reveal the mindset for what it is, then removing the mindset. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Other examples, it's like taking off the outer garment, taking off that garment. And he says, put it away, stow it away. I remember very early on in my walk, I wrote in my Bible, I said, burn it. It doesn't say that in the text, but I put it in there personally. Like, I don't want to just put my old mindset in the closet and I can pull it back out someday. And I think that's what we often do. We put on Jesus and we're doing good and we get these mindsets like, oh, I know I shouldn't be thinking this way. I know I shouldn't be doing this. And we put it away for a little bit. And then when things get tough, circumstances don't go the way, we feel let down, we pick that mindset up and put it back in. And that robe, that whatever thing that we had on, I remember writing down, I said, just burn it. Shred that thing. You're not going to fit again because I'm different. I'm new creation. And we get rid of it and shred it. And that's part of understanding removal is removing the mindsets is to destroy them. That destroying and tearing down strongholds, it means to completely obliterate it. And the reality is, I think, I don't know about you, but at times I think my mind's not as bad as somebody else may say it is. Maybe my wife would tell me my mind's worse than I think it is if she knew everything I was always thinking. And we think we're walking around with just some grocery bags, right, of stuff. But the reality is it's like we're carrying around big garbage bags of stinking thinking. And a lot of times people around you can see it, but you're unaware of it. It's called a blind spot because we don't see it. We need other people in our lives to tell us and to help us spot out what we're missing and how we're thinking, saying, hey, that's not good thinking. Man, the way you're talking about your wife, or the way you're talking about your kids, like I just don't think that's the best way of going about it, the best way of thinking. Man, how you seem angry, you seem mad, you seem all the time. Like, if we don't allow people into our lives, we have very little hope of getting healthy and whole and restored and rejuvenated because we need one another. Satan's number one weapon against us is lies. Throughout the Bible, Satan's listed as a liar, an accuser, a schemer. He's a deceiver. That's what Satan is. He's a liar and a deceiver. The truth that we have, the weapon, number one weapon we have, is the Word of God. This is our sword that takes down and cuts through the lies. We have a shield of faith. Ephesians 6, we're going to get into that a little bit next week. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. But we put on the shield of faith that extinguishes the lies that the enemy's throwing at us. And to be honest, I think most people don't even realize the lies that have been spoken to you over your life are from the devil. It may have come from somebody else's mouth or even from your own mind, but the devil's throwing lies. He speaks lies. He's the father of lies. Any lie that's, you're not good enough, you'll never amount to much, you'll never succeed. Any lies that are contrary to the word of God, it's from the devil. Or at least it's in your own head. Either way, it's not good and it's not of God. So we have to counter the lies with the truth of what God says. But if we don't know the truth, how will we know that the lies are coming? Right? How do we know, unless we know what God's voice sounds like, when we hear something, we go, I think that's God. Well, does it push you closer to God, closer to his church, closer to the kingdom, or does it pull you away? Anything you think you heard from God that's pulling you away or pulling you away from God or away from his people, I don't believe is God. Because God would not separate and divide people. He wants to bring people together. He wants to speak of who you are. You're a son or you're a daughter. That there's good positive things that he has for you. There's gifting he's put inside of you. Don't look at what's on the surface or in the flesh. Look according to the spirit that God has so much more available for you. But we have to identify the lies, remove them, and replace them with the word of God. Last couple of verses, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. He says, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's putting on this new way of living. There's way too much I want to share that I'm going to have to fast forward. I think of the idea of we often come to God, we just put Jesus on us instead of taking off the old self first. I feel like God wants us to get completely stripped down before him, to take off everything that we've built up in our own minds, the lies that have been spoken over us, the mindsets that just keep us in captivity. God wants you to remove those. And in fact, he'll help you remove those if you let him. Removing and stripping down all the stuff, all the mindsets, all the things. I believe if we give him a chance, he'll reveal them to us. He'll remove them from us. And then he can replace it with the truth of what he says about us. He wants to put on a beautiful new robe of righteousness. That's what the Ephesians 4:24 is talking about, the righteousness, the holiness of God. Take off the filthy rags that we've been wearing. I'm not talking physically in the flesh, I'm talking spiritually and in our minds. Take off the filthy rags that we've been wearing in our heads that have been keeping us in chains and put on the newness of Christ, the likeness and image of God. So three things we're going to do: reveal, remove, and replace. But also, what we can do very practically is admitting you have a malfunction, a mindset malfunction, right? Everybody admit you got something that needs work on, right? If not, talk to your spouse, talk to somebody down the road next to you. They'll let you know that we all have mindsets, right? That need change. But second is ask for help. Ask for help. I believe most people don't receive a healing because they don't ever ask for it. Most people don't ever get free because they don't ask for help. We think, well, that's not for me, or I'm not that bad. And I go, why not give God a chance? Why not? Why live in the bondage and the captivity? Why not get set free? Why not say, God, if this is all I got, then great. But God, if you want more from me, I want more of you. And give God a shot. Even if you look silly, I have no problem worshiping God silly and unashamed, because I'm like, He's the King who saved my life. My King. My King. I bow before my King. He saved my life. He set me free. Why wouldn't I want to give Him my everything? Not just a little bit throughout the week, but my everything. You want my money, God? It's yours anyways. You want my family? It's yours anyways. God, my life is not my own. We got to ask for help. Trust me, I'm one of the worst ones for asking for help, but I'm getting better. I'm in recovery. Say, please help. God, I need help. At times, I need help from one another. I want to share a real practical example with you. This happened this week. My wife gave me permission to share. She encouraged me to share. Her and I, if you can believe it, don't always get along perfectly. Sometimes we disagree with how the silverware goes in the dishwasher, but we both have had some mindset attacks, and I believe God allows you to go through something and live it out before you preach it. And I believe I'm like, it was just like, okay, God, it makes sense why we're doing this. And we had this conversation this week of, at times I have a mindset that's negative against her. I know you can't imagine, like, there's anything I can ever say bad about my wife, but the lies in my head, the mindsets that I have about things that she's just trying to get me. She's doing that on purpose. And this negative thoughts that come into my head, critical thoughts. And I shared with her of like how at times I have these thoughts coming into my mind. I have to stop them and then speak truth to go, no, she is a good wife. She is a good mom. She loves Jesus. The way she worships, the way she studies the Bible, the way she lives her life. I'm like, how could I ever think of something bad about her? But the devil keeps trying to plant those lies. And I say that I shared it with her, and she's like, felt like relief, because she's like, I've been thinking some things about you too. And it's not to make up things, but it's to realize we all have mindsets that need squashed. We need to reveal them for what they are. This is a lie from the enemy, or at worst, or maybe just my own mind, the way I think. But either way, it needs to stop. Stop building those walls that prevent us from being close to God or close to one another. Tear them down, destroy them, remove them, and then speak the truth. The truth. Sometimes the only truth you got is they're really trying hard. That's okay. Speak truth for your, especially if you're married. We all have relationships with people, right? Whether it's work, friends, family, we all have relationships. So we can work on how do we stop the mindset, remove it, and replace it with the truth. Whether it's for your own life, for your relationships, we all can do this, and we all need to do it in a way of, I want you to be free. I want you, God wants you to be free. He wants you to experience so much more in your life. So we ask for help, we admit we have a problem, we ask for help, and then we continue to speak the truth of God's word. We apply the word of God. Church, if you could please stand to your feet. I just want to pray for you. If there's any mindset that came to your mind, or you just know, I just need a fresh clearing out of my mind, I want to pray for you. We got to admit we have a problem. Ask for help. And I encourage you to go ask for help, to get signed up for Victory and Freedom is a good way to get some help. And then apply the Word of God this week. Apply the Word of God of what He says and who He says you are. If you're here today and you say, I know I need my mindset, just a fresh cleaning out. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hands just as a sign of saying, God, I need more of you, less of me. I need my mind renewed. We're just going to start that process right here and now as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person whose hands are up, God, that they know they have a mindset that's not one that lines up with your word or is contrary to you, God, or that it's exalting itself against you. God, that we would recognize those mindsets right now. Some of them, Father, I know they've been there for 20, 30, 40 years. But God, in a moment, you can change and transform us. So God, I pray for those mindsets right now, that we would lay them down at your feet. Any mindset that's contrary to the word of God or what you say about us, God, we lay them at your feet. And we say, Father, remove them from us right now in Jesus' name. Remove the negativity, the cynicism, the critical, the anti-God, the mindsets that we can have. Any mindset that's only in the flesh, that's not exalting you, God, we say, remove it in Jesus' name. Father, unbelief, doubt right now, I just pray would be gone in Jesus' name. And God, we replace it with the truth of your word. God, that you are a good Father. You are a perfect God. That you are God Almighty, the one who has power over everything. You are healer. You are provider. God, that you are faithful, trustworthy, and true. We speak the truth of who you are and who we are as we accept you and follow you as your sons and daughters. God, replace the lies of the devil with the truth of what you say about us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And just as we continue in this attitude of prayer, I just want to offer you one more thing. Most important decision you could ever make is to say yes to Jesus Christ being the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future. I felt like God just gave me a picture of somebody who's just holding back. Just not sure if they can really be exposed before God. You know, the thing about God's love is it's the only true love that can be, you can be fully seen and fully known. Every thought you've ever had, every bad thing you've ever done, He sees it and He still loves you. He still wants what's best for you. He doesn't hold it against you. Unless you've accepted, until you've accepted Jesus Christ, you can have that forgiven. Everything you've ever thought or done, every sinful thing, every wrong thing, everything that comes against the knowledge of God, it can be forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. If that's you today, you say, Jesus, I need forgiven for my sins, for my thoughts, for my bad mindsets. And then you want to follow Him as the leader of your future. He's going to begin to reveal His plan for you, His good plan for you. If you're here today and you say, I need to make that decision, I just want you to slip up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Just slip up your hand right where you are. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Don't miss this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who's making that decision in their heart right now. God, I pray right now that shame would be gone in Jesus' name. Condemnation and guilt would be gone in Jesus' name because you bore it on the cross. All sin and shame and guilt you dealt with on the cross. As we trust in you, Father, I pray they would know that they were forgiven, not because of their good works, not because of being a good person, but only because of what you did on the cross for them. Father, I pray for every single one of us that we would remember and know that we are forgiven by your blood and your blood alone. Your death, your burial, and your resurrection is why we can celebrate and look forward to our future. I pray right now, God, for every person raise their hand that they have made that decision to accept you, that from this day forward, you begin to transform them to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. amen. Amen. Can we give God a great big hand? He is so, so good. You can be seated. Larry, come on up. We're going to receive an offering and close us out.